In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness, to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, yet the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, the glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness about him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks before me, because he was before me.'" And from his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. The only God, who is at the Father's side, he has made him known.
Thanks very much, Tanya.
Well, good morning and Merry Christmas. It's great to add my welcome to that of Tim's. We're going to be thinking a little bit about that passage this morning. So if you've got your Bibles, it'd be good to have them open. Some other words will come up on the screen that'll help us out as we go along. But it'd be really good if you could follow it as well in your Bibles. Christmas is a really great time, isn't it? I think I agree with pretty much everything that was said on the video earlier that people love Christmas for. There's the food and the presents, the couple of days off work, the getting together with family and friends. There's nothing quite like Christmas time, is there? It is a really, really special time. And I guess if I hadn't been making the video and I'd been on the other side of the camera, I'd have had to think about perhaps two of my top favourite Christmas things. Firstly, there's the coming down the stairs on Christmas morning and going into the living room where our Christmas tree is and seeing all the presents underneath the tree. And just standing back a little bit and looking and trying to work out which present's mine. I just love that. Without, you're not allowed to touch them, you just have to guess at which one's yours. It's always the biggest, of course. I love that. And then secondly, my second favourite thing, perhaps it's actually my first favourite thing, I love sitting down for my Christmas dinner with my family and friends, tucking into my mum's roast potatoes and topping it all off with her speciality, white chocolate mousse. It's those two Christmas traditions that I reckon really help to make Christmas great. I've no doubt that all of us love presents, and I'm sure that we all love great food as well. But the extra special thing about the Christmas dinner, it isn't just the food. That's good. But really it's who you're sharing the food with. It'd be pretty dull if you were eating Christmas dinner sat on your own, wouldn't it? It's really because of the great company. The family and the friends, the get-together, the banter that you have, the good fun as you're eating your really nice Christmas dinner. As you're trying to keep the chocolate mousse for yourself and not share it with anybody else. That's just me. Christmas is a really special time, isn't it? And today, as we think about looking back at the first Christmas, thinking through why it is that we celebrate Jesus coming into the world, why Christmas is really, really special, then I want us to see from this passage in John that Christmas, those traditions of Christmas presents and getting together with family and friends, family reunions, it isn't a new tradition at all. It's not something sort of we've invented. No, that actually the first Christmas was all about gifts and family. Just look at verse 9 of the reading we just had. If you've closed your Bibles, it's on page 1068. And hopefully it will come up on the screen. It has come up on the screen, Jeff, your own form. It says this: the true light which enlightens everyone was coming into the world. And when John, the writer of the book, is talking about the true light, he's talking there about Jesus. So he says, Jesus was in the world, and the world was made through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came into the world, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor the will of man, nor of the flesh, of the will of man, but of God. Do you see then in verse 12 how Jesus coming into the world, that first Christmas, is all about presence and family? Look again. But to all who did receive Jesus, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. He gave the right to become part of a family. You see, the purpose of Christmas, of Jesus being born into the world, is that in order that you and I might be given a Christmas present, the right to become the children of God. Now, when I was thinking about this, and I suspect you guys might be similar, I thought at first, well, that sounds great, but it's not quite as exciting as getting a Nintendo Wii for Christmas, or a new mobile phone, or a Bratz doll. It might not be as appealing as getting some new perfume, or a DVD, or a CD. But what I want us to see this morning is that this gift that Jesus offers through that first Christmas is by far the biggest and best gift that you will ever be given. It is the gift of becoming a child of God. The right to become children of God. And we're going to spend the rest of the morning unpacking this gift to see and truly understand what it means to be a child of God. What is so great about this present? And I'm going to need some help from some of you guys so that you can come and unpack the gift bit by bit and we can see what it means to be a child of God. So could I have a volunteer other than Stuart? Josh, you come up first because you're doing the sound desk for me tonight, so you can have a first call this morning even. Oh. What I need you to do, mate, is dig in the box and find present number one. It should be labelled quite well. You get to keep the present. If you can read me that through the microphone. You're on sound desk, so you might not be able to hear.
When the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that they might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father.
Thanks very much, mate. You can take that with you. That'll give you some incentive to be the next volunteer, you see. See, I don't know. There aren't any other presents in there. Oh, I'm giving it away. Well, the first thing, that's from Galatians 4, and the first thing we learn about being children of God, which may seem a pretty obvious thing, but I think it is really exciting, is that being a child of God means that we can know God personally. That being a child of God means we can know God personally. Let's put that on there. What does that mean? What does it mean to know God personally? Well, to call yourself a child of God isn't some kind of title that really means nothing when it comes down to it. No, it means that if you and I are Christians, then we can have a family relationship with God. That passage in Galatians tells us that the Holy Spirit that lives in us, God's Spirit lives in us. And as Christians, through him, we can relate to God as our Father. That word Abba that the passage talks about and that the Spirit helps us cry is kind of an informal word for Father. It's kind of similar to us calling our dads Dad. God isn't some unknown distant being, you see, who made the world and left it to its own devices. He isn't some kind of imaginary friend or an evil bully. No, this Christmas we're celebrating a God who created the world and who's in total control over everything, but that has made it possible through Jesus. And he also wants to relate to you and me as our Father. We're his children. How good is that? That is a good gift. It means we have a God, a creator who wants to know us personally. I don't know about you, but sometimes I can feel pretty unwanted or unimportant. At school, you might feel you're a bit on the outside of a friendship group. Perhaps you're someone who doesn't quite know which group they fit into. Or for some of the adults, perhaps you're a bit lonely or have a bit of low self-worth. You're feeling pretty downtrodden. And at Christmas time, that can make you feel really low, can't it? But when you realise that the all-powerful God wants to know you personally and relate to you, that he wants to adopt you as his son and his daughter, to give you a new identity, Matt Thompson, child of God, Alex Cooper, child of God, Penny Harvey, child of God. Well, in some senses, it doesn't matter what your status before others is, does it? God wants to know you personally. That is the best gift ever. When you're at school or at work or whenever you're feeling a bit on the outside, then remember this Christmas present. God values you so much, he's offering to give you the gift of being a child of God. And one of the consequences, one of the things that comes from having this personal relationship with God, it means we can talk to our dad, talk to God as we talk to our dads now. We can talk to our Creator about anything, good or bad. We can talk to him about our excitements, our fears, our pleasures and our hopes. We can pour our hearts out to him and he listens and he responds. And he's not the sort of dad who only sort of half listens. You know, who sort of grunts a response back to you as he reads his newspaper or he watches the footy. No, God is the perfect father. And he'll always give his children his full attention. So firstly, it's Christmas. But remember that being a child of God means that we can know God personally because he's our father. Right, I need somebody else to come and give us a second. Stuart, I'm still not going to pick you, mate. Caleb, come on. Okay, can you reach in and find me number two? Can you see it? Okay, do you think you can read that? Or if you can't, you can get your dad to help you, but I reckon you can. If I hold it for you, shout very loudly.
The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs of God and fellows with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him.
Thanks very much, mate. There you go. So secondly then, being a child of God means that we can become God's heirs. Oh, I've done it upside down. It's all right. Being a child of God means that we can become God's heir. Now this is the future part of being of the gift that Jesus offers. It's great as we've seen being a child of God now, and being able to know God personally. But being an heir of God means that looking into the future, there's even more to come. That little reading that Caleb just read tells us that as children of God, then we're heirs and fellow heirs with Jesus. And as his heirs, what that means as we go on is that we will be glorified with Jesus. What does that mean? Well, it means that of all the promises of God that we see in the Bible, worked out in Jesus, will in the future also be true for us. So in the same way that Jesus was raised from death to life by God, so it means that if we're children of God, we don't have to be scared of death, because we too will be raised from death to life. And not only that, but in the same way as Jesus sits in heaven with God for all time, we too one day we'll find ourselves in glory. A place the Bible describes as having streets made of pure gold, where there'll be no more sadness or pain or upset. But we'll one day live in the same perfect, amazing place that Jesus lives. Now this is the part that we have to wait patiently for. It's kind of like waiting for Christmas morning all over again, isn't it? But that's what it means to be an heir. It comes in the future. What an amazing gift. A place where the streets are made of gold while there'll be no more crying or pain or hurt or upset. But while we wait, we have to remember that the Bible tells us it might not be very nice. In fact, it won't be very nice. That actually we'll face hurtful things and we might suffer. But as children of God, we must keep going, because there's an amazing future to come, isn't there? An amazing future. And when we understand this, then again, we begin to see that the Christmas offer to become children of God, this gift here, is an amazing gift. We can know God personally as our Father now, and we can be sure of being raised from death to life, to an amazing place where God lives in the future. What a gift. What a great present. And there's one more really exciting thing that being a child of God means. So I need one more person to come and help me out. Stuart, I'm still not going to pick you. Sam, you put your hand up each time, mate. Come on. Okay, mate, I need you to dive in. You'll be able to reach up there. Can you see sign number 3? Okay, do you reckon you can read that one out? Really loudly.
Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another, for that indeed is what you are doing to over other brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you,
brothers, to do this more and more. Thanks, mate. Yeah. So then, thirdly, being a child of God means that we're part of a big family. Now, I've put on here a global family, but what I really mean is a big family. Being a child of God, that means that we're part of a big family. Now, that little passage is part of a letter to a church. And you see that the writers treat all the members of the church as brothers and sisters. Well, that's because having God as our Father isn't some kind of an individual thing where we only ever spend time with God on our own. No, having God as our Father means that we become part of a massive family. All of other God's children become our brothers and sisters. So that means right now in this room, as we're meeting to celebrate Christmas together, what we're doing is actually having our Christmas get together. Look around you. If you're a Christian here today, you're here with your family, your brothers and sisters. And that's great, isn't it? Because it means we have a family where loads and loads of people should be looking out for us, caring for us, helping us. And as the little passage says, we should be all working to be loving one another more and more, as any family should. Perhaps you're someone here today whose family are actually overseas, or someone who's working and so can't get home for Christmas. Perhaps you're someone for whom Christmas is a lonely time. Well, the final amazing part of this gift is that you can belong to a worldwide, massive family. You are, if you're a Christian, my brother or sister. And all of us need to work hard, not just at Christmas, but all year round, to make sure that everyone we know in the family of God are being cared for and loved and looked after. Caleb, for example, wouldn't let his little sister Anna sit on her own all throughout Christmas dinner. Well, at least I hope he wouldn't. Yeah. His dad tells me he would. But in theory, he'd go and get her, make sure she was all right, he'd bring her downstairs. He'd get her some turkey and some roast potatoes and whatever else she needs. And he'd look after her. And it's the same with our brothers and sisters in the church, isn't it? We've got to be looking after them, showing them all the respect and love that we would show our immediate family. That might mean that today, very practically, you put a couple of extra sprouts on the boil and invite one of God's family who's on their own round for lunch. It's doing family with God's family. It'll mean loving and forgiving and laughing and crying and sharing and compromising and learning and helping. But that's what family is, isn't it? The gift is that we become a massive family. And what's great about families is that they're there to help each other. So being part of God's family, where there are all these great brothers and sisters, that means that it's not just you giving all the time, but actually they're there to help you as well. You've got a loving family on tap. That is an amazing gift. So you see, Christmas is all about presents, and it's all about family. It's actually about the present and the family. Jesus' gift brings you into a father, son or daughter relationship with God. It gives you an amazing hope for the future. And it offers you a local and global family, a place to belong and a place to be loved. This really is the biggest and best gift ever. But if you look back at the John passage that we had read for us, you'll see that it's a gift that needs to be accepted and opened. Do you see that in verse 12 again? But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. We need to do something. You and I would never ever leave a present with our name on it unwrapped under the tree, would we? We'd never say, actually, I don't want that present, thanks very much, I'll just leave it there. So we need to make sure that we don't treat this present from Jesus any differently. And that means that, as John says, we need to receive Jesus and believe in his name in order that he will give us this gift. And to do that, we have to trust that Jesus is who he says he is. That he is God's son sent into the world to bring people like you and me into God's family. That ultimately, that the price for giving us this gift is through dying on a cross in our place. In order that God doesn't look at us as selfish rebels, but as precious children. So later on today, as you're getting together with your family and you're opening and playing with your presents, then do remember just to take some time out to thank God for that first Christmas where Jesus was born into the world so that you and I could be given the best present ever, the right to become children of God. Think through what an amazing present that you've been given. And perhaps if you're not a Christian here today, if you're not a child of God, then why not take some time out this afternoon as you're letting your dinner settle to read the story of the first Christmas for yourself. There are some accounts of Jesus' life at the back. You might want to take one of those and ask yourself, can I believe in Jesus' name? Has he really come to offer me a place in God's family? And if you do decide that what he claims is true, then do make sure that you take and receive the gift that he offers.